The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone to our service of Holy Communion this morning. And just a few notices for the week that is to come. Hopefully you've seen them on the screen on your way in. But there's one or two things that are happening this week that don't happen every week that I wanted to draw attention to. On Wednesday afternoon at 2 o'clock, our Ladies Afternoon Friendship Group are meeting. And the speaker this month is somebody from Rosie's Trust. That's at 2 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon. I also wanted to mention that the Pilates group is not meeting this coming week, but they will be back next week. So if you are a patron of Pilates, it's not happening this week, but back again next week. And also just to remind people that over the season of harvest in October, there are a number of options that we're inviting people to participate in. You don't have to participate in all of them. But one of the connections that we've made in recent years is with the Larder Food Bank. And over the month of October, we're invited, if we can, and if we're in a position to do so, to bring some tinned fruit or vegetable, some rice pudding or custard. And that will be collected for the Larder Food Bank around the time of the 22nd of October, which is our Harvest Sunday. You also have seen on the way in, we've been launching our shoebox appeal, which we haven't been doing in recent last couple of years through various circumstances. But Mark and Charmaine are going to take on running the shoebox appeal. And there are shoeboxes that will be available in the porch. And then we're hoping to gather them all in by the end of October. So if people, again, would like to find out more information about that, have a word with Mark and Charmaine after the service. There are various instructions about what people can and can't put in to their shoeboxes if they wish to be part of that appeal. Our services next Sunday are Holy Communion at 9 o'clock, morning prayer at 11, and evening prayer at 7. And so we're going to stand and sing together our opening hymn, which is from the Red Church Hymnal. And you'll find the words on the screen and you'll find all our responses on the screen. But if you're using a Red Church Hymnal, it's hymn 268, Hail Thou Once Despised Jesus.
Thank you.
Our service today is the service of Holy Communion, and if you're following in the prayer book, it begins on page 201, and all the responses will be on the screen. We pray together, Almighty God, Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear what our Lord Jesus Christ says. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. Lord, have mercy on us, and write these your laws in our hearts. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to intercede for us in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. Let us then confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace. Almighty God, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned in thought and word and deed, and in what we have left undone. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may walk in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we respond to God's forgiveness as we stand together to say Gloria in excelsis. Glory to God. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to God's people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And our special collect prayer for today, the 18th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty and everlasting God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind, we may run the way of your commandments and win the crown of everlasting joy through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. And if you'd like to be seated for our epistle reading.
The epistle is written in the third chapter of Paul's letter to the Philippians, beginning at verse 4b. Even though I too have reason for confidence in the flesh, if someone else thinks they have reasons to put confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. In regard to the law, a Pharisee. As for zeal, persecuting the church. As for righteousness, based on the law, faultless. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. What is more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all these, or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me, heavenward in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Hear the gospel of our Saviour Christ, according to Matthew chapter 21, beginning at verse 33.
Glory be to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers and moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them in the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. "They will respect my son," he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, "This is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance." So they took him and threw him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants? "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, "and he will rent the vineyard to other tenants, who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." Jesus said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, 'The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes.' Therefore, I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. Anyone on whom it falls will be crushed." When the chief priests and the Pharisees heard Jesus' parables, they knew he was talking about them. They looked for a way to arrest him, but they were afraid of the crowd, because the people held that he was a prophet. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
We believe in one God. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. During the singing of our next hymn, the children will be leaving us for Sunday school with their leaders, and we want to wish them well as they go out this morning. We're going to sing together hymn 418, "Hear, O My Lord, I See Thee Face to Face." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I'm very conscious at the minute of a number of people who would normally be with us but who are unable to be so due to illness or ill health, and we want to wish them well. I know many of them are tuning in online, and it's lovely that you can worship with us even from your home when you would normally be here and like to be here. So we are thinking of people at the present time,
And Andy is away this morning preaching at a harvest in Banbridge. He's been away for the last couple of Sundays preaching in harvests in different places. And again, our thoughts and prayers are with him as he shares God's word in another place this morning. I have a friend who spent some time back during the 1990s as a Dublin taxi driver. And like many in that profession, he has some tales to tell. And I love the one that he told me one day about the day that he picked up a boy band from a photography shoot to take them to the airport. And at first, when the band got into the car, there wasn't a lot of chat. They just told him their destination, and he proceeded on with the journey. But then the traffic, as it often does in Dublin, as you might well know, it got very heavy. And so in the midst of the heavy traffic, he started up a conversation. And he said, "So, lads," he says, what do you do with yourselves? Or are you heading off for a long weekend?" And one of them came in and he said, "Well, we're in a band." And then another one said, "Yeah, we're actually doing really, really well these days." He said, "We've been on various TV shows. The papers are writing about us all the time." And my friend told the boys that that all sounded really, really amazing. And then he asked the killer question. And he said, what do you call yourselves then?" And the boys all came in together at that point, and they said, "We're called dot, 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 dot." And they named themselves. And they waited for his response. Maybe my friend would want some stuff signed. Maybe he'd want to have his picture taken with them to show his family. But instead, what he did, and it was really rather naughty, was say, "Do you know, lads, I'm sorry, I don't think I've ever heard of you." And he said their faces fell, and it was like all the energy was sucked out of the taxi. Sometimes we have notions or we have ideas about ourselves that are above our station. We think perhaps more highly of ourselves than we ought to. And in his letter to the Philippians, St. Paul warns against the wrong sort of ambition. Very often our ambition can be for pretty superficial things, maybe like wealth or how many followers we might have on social media, or we might take pride in a particular role that we hold or have, or some tenuous connection that we might have with a famous person. But St. Paul wants to teach the church in this letter about being ambitious for the right things, not for status or fame or personal glory, but he wants to teach us about being ambitious for knowing Jesus better, or indeed making Jesus known to more people. Those are the sorts of things he wants us to be ambitious for. And arriving at that conclusion marked quite a journey for the Apostle Paul. In his early life, as he set out here, he had lots of markers to think quite highly of himself, as we heard in that epistle reading. St. Paul was a devout Jew. He was somebody who observed all the rituals, all the religious practices. He came from a really good family. He had a decent education. He believed that he was doing absolutely the right thing in persecuting the church and in doing all in his power to crush its influence as it started to grow. But then one day, St. Paul had a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus, and that changed everything for him. There's quite a bit of difference if we think about happiness and joy. If I were to ask you to tell me some things that make you happy, you'd probably maybe name a number of things, but you might, for example, think about opening a gift that you really loved, maybe on your birthday or at Christmas, and you opened it up and you thought, isn't that fantastic? And it would really give you a surge of happiness. Or maybe you would think about walking hand in hand with somebody special that you love. Maybe you might think of happiness and associate it with things like an exotic holiday or going to a show or a concert where you see one of your favorite performers. Everybody wants to be happy, and we often spend our lifetime pursuing happiness. We buy things, we spend money, we collect stuff, all in pursuit of happiness. But if happiness depends on our circumstances, what happens when the fancy car rusts, or when loved ones die, or if our health deteriorates, or all that money that we accumulated got stolen? Often at those points, happiness flees and despair sets in. But running deeper and stronger than happiness is joy. And joy is the quiet confidence, assurance of God's love and his work in our lives, that he will be there no matter what. And happiness depends on happenings, but joy depends on Christ. And that's what St. Paul is trying to get through to us this morning. And he even wrote this letter from the awful circumstances of being in prison and being chained to a Roman guard. But the secret of his joy is grounded in that encounter that he had with the living Christ. It put everything else that he once held to be important in its proper context. In fact, he counted everything that he once valued as rubbish compared to the greatness of coming to know Christ. And very often we are trapped or we're stuck in some of the events of our past. We're burdened with guilt or with shame sometimes over things that we wish that we had done differently at that point. And the memory of them is often painful and embarrassing, and it can cripple us on all sorts of levels. But when we are united with Christ by trusting in him, we experience in our lives the same power that raised him from the dead. And as he puts it in another one of his letters, St. Paul wrote, "We're a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come." And that's really brilliant news for all of us who feel that we've messed up and we've made mistakes. And St. Paul urges the Philippians to be willing to change their values just as he did in order to know Christ better. And he said that's where true joy is to be found. A joy that goes beyond our circumstances. And what might that look like for us to experience his joy? For me, in recent weeks, it's about intentionally trying to slow down and to spend some time being still in his presence. And when I started this practice about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I started off as the recommendation I was given told me to try to do 2 minutes a day. And it took me about 10 days before I could move on to try 3 minutes a day. Because there's always so many distractions whenever we try to be still. Our minds love to be busy. There are pings and notifications from our phone. There are tasks that we want to complete, and they run around and around in our head. Can we learn to be still and to invite Jesus in to shape our thoughts and how we experience his presence with us? Is it important enough to us to give him our full attention and to invite him to be part of our day at regular intervals? These are the building blocks to joy that goes deeper than our circumstances. And just like St. Paul wrote, I certainly feel I have lots to learn. But also, just like St. Paul, I feel that as I begin to invest in this whole process and strive to know him better, that is the place where true joy is to be found. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, you promised through your Son, Jesus Christ, to hear the prayers of those who ask in faith. And so we pray for your church throughout the world. We pray for this diocese and for David, our bishop. We ask that you'd help us as a church to be ambitious for the right things, that we might know you better, that we might make you known to others, and that we might continue to serve the community more effectively in such a way that people will long to know more of you and about your love for them. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the nations of the world. And as we see the terrible violence that has occurred in Israel and Palestine over this weekend, we feel sadness and despair at so many lives lost and changed forever. Lord, we ask you to be very close to those who suffered so terribly. And we pray that you would inspire leaders to take courageous steps to stop the violence. We pray for a supernatural intervention to melt the hatred and the bitterness. And we ask that leaders would be infused by your courage and even hope in the midst of desperate days. Lord, in your mercy, we pray for the sick and the poor and those in any kind of trouble. We continue to pray for those who are preparing for surgery, for those about to embark on grueling treatment. And we pray that they and their loved ones would know your peace and your strength for all that lies ahead. And we want to take a quiet moment now to lift those who are particularly in our thoughts or on our hearts before you as we come to your table. Lord, in your mercy. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And we continue to pray as we pray together. We do not presume. We do not presume to come to this your table, merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose nature is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that our sinful bodies may be made clean by his body, and our souls washed through his most precious blood, and that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. Christ is our peace. He has reconciled us to God in one body by the cross. We meet in his name and share his peace. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
And we're going to join together to sing our next hymn, which is hymn 222 in the hymn book, Here is Love, Vast as the Ocean. Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us celebrate the feast. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
Father, Lord of all creation, we praise you for your goodness and your love. When we turned away, you did not reject us. You came to meet us in your Son, welcomed us as your children, and prepared a table where we might feast with you. In Christ, you shared our life, that we might live in him and he in us. He opened wide his arms upon the cross, and with love stronger than death, he made the perfect sacrifice for sin. Lord Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, on the night before you died, you came to table with your friends. Taking bread, you gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the bread of life. At the end of supper, you took the cup of wine, gave thanks, and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me." Lord Jesus, we bless you. You are the true vine. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Dying, you destroyed our death. Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. Holy Spirit, giver of life, come upon us now. May this bread and wine be to us the body and blood of our Saviour, Jesus Christ. As we eat and drink these holy gifts, make us who know our need of grace, one in Christ, our risen Lord. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, blessed Trinity, with your whole church throughout the world, we offer you this sacrifice of thanks and praise, and lift our voice to join the song of heaven, forever praising you and saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest." Thanks be to you, our God, for your gift beyond words.
Amen. Amen.
The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ.
We being many are one body, for we share one bread.
In a moment, we're all going to be invited to draw near to receive communion. And as we do so, what we normally do when we're here in this particular situation in the hall is that we just invite people to come row by row. The wardens will invite you to come forward. After you've received communion, if you peel off to the sides and go back to your seat, that way it saves a logjam in the middle. Draw near and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood which he shed for you. Remember that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.